Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you guys watch the Commonwealth Games? Eh? Are you sure? Did you see our medals? Eh? You know now we are now big time, eh? Praise the Lord. So we won medals, eh? Yeah, but there were other things which were happening there as well, eh? Did you watch those ones also? Eh? Are you guys alert? Are you watchers? You know watchers do what? Eh? So there were things which were happening there. And I was amazed. Did you watch the opening ceremony? Eh? Akena, did you watch the opening ceremony? Since when did you start watching sports? Wonderful things happened there. Roger, did you watch it? You did not. I didn't think so. Eh? Wonderful things were happening there. You know, now the kingdom of darkness really, really, as you know, I remember some time ago there was this gentleman speaking on, and I found it amazing on BBC. And at the time I used to have this, somehow I had my radio on BBC permanently in the car. So I'll be listening to news all the time. Then this guy comes and says that now it's time for us, talking about sorcerers, to come out of hiding, because now the church is weak. He said for 400 years we have been quiet underground, doing our things quietly, almost in shame. But now that the church has been weakened, it's time for us to come out openly. And he's saying that on BBC. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I found it really shocking. But then, at the Commonwealth Games, of course, because it was held in England, and of course it was declared open by Prince Charles, whom you know what I think he is. They brought out things which I found to be interesting. And I asked Moses, I hope he succeeded somehow, to get me some of those videos for people like Roger, who are not watchers. Who are masqueraders? Praise the Lord. Because watchers, what? Watch. So if you didn't watch, then you are not a watcher. But now these guys, now you see, you just play it without sound. I found this interesting because they brought a huge bull into the arena. And it was, you see how big that thing is, eh? And see how much technology must have taken to put it together. And so they carry it in. I don't know if he succeeded, but when the bull comes on, at some stage, there is a woman riding on it. You saw the woman. Now you know what that talks about. Revelation 17:3, I see a woman riding what? A beast. Now, interestingly, they used colors. They flashed colors on the thing. It was metal, but they flashed colored, and it was actually scarlet and purple, like the scripture says. So he carried me to the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Next verse. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. And no, you put the video. Don't. You leave the scripture. These people know these scriptures. Except Roger, who is not a what? Okay, you play the thing. Now these people come and they bow down before the thing, really in worship. And they really bow. But what I found interesting is when they did that, then the camera shifts to another people somewhere who are dancing, you know, and And remember that scripture in Exodus, where what's he called? Aaron made the golden calf, and it says they woke up and worshipped the golden calf, and then they danced and played. You remember that? Eh? That's exactly what they were doing. Now these people bow down before the thing, and you know, yeah, worship it in clear. Then you see that. Then an angel goes, like something symbolizing an angel, which goes up there, then touches it and gives it life. Then it says that it gave life to the image of the beast. You know, okay, you could see they are really trying to portray something, which really is, I guess, they were making a point in reference. Now, then on top of that, this was more than Baal worship, because they brought up the scarlet and whatever, then the woman riding the beast, which you know is the symbol of Europe, Europa. You know that, I told you that Europa was a Greek mythology, a beautiful woman who apparently the god, you see her on top of the beast. Now this was the real beast before the light, the images. Then the images flash on it, then when that thing goes, it gets life and starts breathing, you know, spitting out smoke. And then when it does that, all the people fall down and worship. Eh? Now, you look, the woman on top of the beast. So now they are bringing a number of things here. Then they go and play. Where is this? Go to the next verse. You leave the images up there. Go ahead. Hey. So they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now that's, okay, now this is, but there was another, you go and check it out yourselves, because we had to do these things quickly for purposes. But I found it so interesting, because then they showed, you see the woman riding there? Hey. Now, if you pull the whole picture, the scarlet is clear, but then down here, they bring out the purple. Just light effects. Eh? The actual thing was made of. So, anyway. So, I found that interesting. Eh? And so, the people of darkness have now come out openly. Then, on top of that, some of the other portrayals was they showed the Tower of Babel burning. You saw that? Burning. Then, at the end of the ceremony, they showed it rebuilt. And now they are giving what God did all those years ago. Now for us, we are rebuilding the Tower of Babel, which really is, you know what the kingdom of darkness is all about, eh? Invading of Babylon. And then after all the thing, almost strategically, then guess who comes and says, now I declare the Commonwealth Games open. Eh? Hey, Prince Charles, the man. You know the word Charles means the man, eh? The name Charles, eh? Did you know that? The name Charles, you Google, means the man. Eh? You Google and tell me what it is. You might think I'm what? I'm making it up. You say meaning of the name Charles, you'll see. You might not have data. You see, I told you. You don't have that. And somebody else do it. Gwen. Or you also don't have that. Akena has failed. What does it say? Free man, eh? Okay. Strong and manly. Yeah. Okay, really, free man is also whatever it basically means, what? The man, or man. You understand? Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Eh? You know what Revelation whatever says, 13, eh? Verse 16. Eh? What does it say? Okay. Are you reading it? Okay, it says he causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no one should buy or sell except that you should have a mark on the next one. Or his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. It actually says the number of the man. You see that? Praise the Lord. Not you have wounded. But that's what it means. It's the number of the it's the number of the man. Now, anyway, that aside, the purpose of this is to show you that the king, that those people and their kingdom have come out like openly, brazenly in our faces to tell us that we are here. And we are completely in flying in the wind of everything that the scripture says. And all the things which the scriptures portrayed as evil, they sat down to worship, then they woke up and rose and play. There was a video where after they all worshipped, then the camera moves. You know, it's all camera effects. And moves and shows people dancing and playing and, you know, and it almost looked like an orgy. And I'm saying these people are doing exactly what the Bible says. And they know what they are doing. They have no doubt whatsoever what they are doing. But anyway, now here is the thing. There was a time when they come out like that, even I felt that now it is so open, perhaps it's time for us to be raptured. But it's not yet time for us to be raptured. Because we have to first hammer them, crush them, put them under subjugation. Then when they are completely under our subjugation, then we are raptured. Amen? Now, it is difficult for some people of you to believe that because you see them as glorified and yourself as small. But then you see, you have to understand who your God is and who their God is. Amen? Now, that's where the key is. And that's where I actually got liberation in my own mind. Understanding whom they serve and understanding whom I serve. Amen? They serve that man whom I told you was bound in chains and was displayed as a what? Public spectacle. That's whom they serve. And now we serve the person who did that to him. So there can only be one winner. And now when they come out, it shows that also us, our time is, you know, because right now as we are, there is a complete confrontation between good and evil. Unlike anything that has been seen before. It's just that some people might not know it. They think it is just normal times. We are not in normal times whatsoever. And we are not going to be in normal times until we are raptured. It is going to be incredible times. This is the end of the church age. Remember, I told you what Ecclesiastes says. The end of the matter is greater than what? The beginning. You saw how the church started. The end of it has got to be greater than the beginning, according to the Bible. So now we are living in an interesting age. And throughout history, there have been times when the kingdom of darkness has risen up and is face to face with the kingdom of light. And those times have been there. And there have been times when it goes one way or the other, depending on, you know, on what the children of God do. For instance, there was a time when the king of Moab went and sacrificed his son. Because Israel was all over him. And actually he won. But then, from the time of Egypt, when Moses came up against Pharaoh, that was a clear demonstration of what we are in right now, of the kingdom of darkness. Because remember, that was the beginning of that age, what is called the age of the law, all throughout the Exodus and then Sinai, Mount Sinai, which was the beginning of the law, the beginning of the 1,500 years of the law. Then the church age began, you know, with Pentecost. Then the church age ends in our time with power. And now there is this confrontation which is taking place across the world and is seeking to take nations, to take over nations. Now the thing is, some people do not understand that it starts from up there where they are displaying total, complete Baal worship. and everybody is enchanted by it. And by the way, let me tell you, if you got, you go and watch that thing, if you see the sounds of it, when the huge thing comes, people even were sighing, oh. And actually, that is what it is meant to do, to cause people to be in awe of it. And they sighed. And then the thing comes, and I read the explanations, and they're interesting, that it comes as if it is against mankind. Then there is peace between it and mankind. Then they hand it. Then the woman eventually gets on top. Now there is finally peace between what? But the scripture says between the devil. And you know that guy, during COVID, at the peak of COVID 2020, that the man came out very strong. I remember seeing him on, there was a World Economic Forum where he was speaking. And he was saying, now is time for the great reset. Now everything is going to change. You're speaking very confidently. And I think they were sure that finally, you know what the scripture says? He seeks to change the times and the seasons. Because God has his times and his seasons. Now the Antichrist wants to change them. Now I could see you're speaking confidently. But it took him just 6 months to go back, back into hiding. Because I think they told him the time is not yet. Praise the Lord. Now suddenly the confidence went low. And then, of course, they talk, they manifest, they show things. Even the closing ceremony had its own wonderful things. The closing ceremony also had its own story. So maybe Roger will watch that one. But it was last weekend. But it's on YouTube. Praise the Lord. Unless you don't have data. But anyway, the thing is, now you see, the children of God, so many children of God do not understand that this battle starts from the top, but it goes all the way fighting for nations. For instance, even what's happening in Kenya, there is a clear confrontation between light and darkness. Only some people have not seen it. Because that Chigai came and said that there is a colonial legacy in which Christianity has been made to be above all religions, but we are going to crush that. Kenya is a secular state, and so on. And even that woman whom is ready, first of all, his wife was the first one to say it last year and said that, you know, these mushrooming, you know, the things which demonic people say, they are against mushrooming churches, but they go to the witches. And then they want to say, we are regulating churches. Why don't you regulate your witch doctors? Now, she came out that all these churches which are mushrooming, and once you hear that word, that word was born in hell. That mushrooming. Unless you're talking about these mushrooms, which you eat. But when people use mushrooming in the field, you just know that that is the agenda of darkness. So, because however, okay, those churches, some of them might not know the full revelation of the kingdom of God. They serve a purpose because they bring people to Christ, you understand? So even where they are serving a purpose. They might be steeped in some revelation which is not full. It might not be full gospel. You understand? But still they are doing a work. So when they start saying these mushrooming churches, that word, by the way, now when she came out, now the reason actually I kind of liked Kenyans is because they came out very strong against her on social media. I have never seen such a social media barrage against anybody. And she eventually had to withdraw. She said, I was misunderstood. Actually, I'm a born-again Christian. Blah, blah. She backtracked. But then, now the devil no longer wants to be in hiding like a prostitute. If you want his powers, you have to declare him on the pulpit. You understand? There is not these things of hiding behind the scenes. Then you come out here and you're what? A righteous man. Now also the devil wants to be acknowledged in public. So now when it came to the elections, the man actually had to come out completely as anti-church, anti-Christianity. But then you see some people are so interested because I know some pastors who are supporting him. Why? Tribe. Man, there are some people who will never understand the revelation of God. Because if your tribe is more important than the revelation of God, you don't know anything. And I know some people were supporting it. And yet he was clear. There was no hiding. We are here to fight this thing that makes... Nobody has told, has said that Christianity is above anybody in Kenya. By the way, the Muslims and other religions practice openly. You see, eh? But when somebody says, why is yours more? It means that he does not want it to be anywhere. It's a statement of, you know, confrontation. So, now, then the battleground is drawn. Now, I'm telling you, if the children of God all went on one side, that side would win. But the devil has won because he convinces some children of God to support him for very peculiar reasons, like tribe, like I know so and so, I know this, like money, like jealousy and individualism. So you're thinking about, where does this leave me? Praise the Lord. And you can almost count on that, by the way. You can almost count on the fact that if somebody from the kingdom of light comes out, the first people who will fight him will be from the kingdom of light. And I'm telling you, if they didn't, the kingdom of darkness would have no chance. Because the devil can use the mouth of children of God who do not know what they are saying. For instance, have you ever been to churches where they are praying for that all the people who left this church, let them, either they come back or their life is turned into a mess and what? And let them never succeed, and they are praying it in church. Now, the interesting thing is this. Those prayers have an impact. But that impact is not by the Spirit of God. Amen? Your prayers cannot make the Spirit of God do something which is not in his nature to do. You cannot say, God, you curse that person. Is he your servant? It has to be in God's nature. So if I say, God bless Derek, then now God will do that because it's in his nature to what? Now, if it is something which is against, because you're angry, even if, by the way, it's like a man who left you, it will not work at all. Okay, here is the thing. It might work, but not by the Spirit of God. Because those words actually give the devil authority to go and attack children of God. If, let's say, if all of us came here together and agreed that a certain believer should be cast, let him usirana, unless he comes back here. Let me tell you, that person will suffer a lot of things. But not by the Spirit of God. Because the devil will use our words to go and attack that person. And then, on the day of judgment, you will get chiboko. Who told you have the right to decide who goes where? I'm telling you. You find yourself in a place where you're angry and you want to... You know, recruit God into your anger. Who tells you? Who tells you? You can't. Now, what I was saying, if these people actually did not have children of light, first of all, there was another guy there, a prophet in Kenya, who went and prophesied that Ruto was going to what? To win. You should have seen how church people attacked him. You are a false prophet. They don't even wait for the results. At least if it did not happen. But because you are going against what their tribe is telling them to believe, they came out and attacked the man, attacked him. And now here is the funny thing. Even if actually he wins, and that man turns out to be right, they will still attack him. Because people will make their decisions at the emotional level. Like they never rise up above that. And they never see certain things of the things of the kingdom of God which we talk about. If you're still angry, you still get angry and emotional and so on, you never see things because you never want to know which side God is on and support that one wholesomely. That this is the side of God, this is the one I am on, my heart will follow wholly after you. That's just a song to you. But you see, if you really find out which side is God on and go on it, and every believer does that, the devil has no chance whatsoever. But as long as there are divisions, now I'll tell you, now from being up there to being even down to countries, Now, even in our land here, there's going to be a very serious confrontation between light and darkness. Very serious one. Amen? And you wait, you'll see the children of God, where they will be. You wait, you'll see. Some of them, you know, I went someplace, eh? And I was talking to some guy about, this was before the elections. Then, I don't know, like, okay, sometimes I think we can really be stupid. Eh? To be honest, the guy starts discussing doctrinal issues. But what doctrine do you believe in this? I told him, you man, I am here to talk politics. Let me tell you something. Even Peter and Paul had differences on doctrinal issues. If the devil can reduce you to doctrinal differences, he's going to hammer the church. And by the way, that's where he starts. What do you believe? You think there's ever going to be a time when everybody in the church agrees on all doctrines? Didn't you see Paul calling Peter a hypocrite? In the Bible. Inspired by the Spirit. Didn't you see it? In the book of Galatians. Eh? He calls him a hypocrite. Peter. The apostle Peter. And Paul says, you are playing the hypocrite. So you think there is not ever going to be a time. And you know why? Because Peter was saying that, you know, Jews don't eat with what? Gentiles. And Paul was offended by that because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And then, he also has his issues because Peter does not know the law. Paul knows. You see, you're seeing somebody who is trying to practice things which he doesn't know. For you, a top Pharisee. He's a fisherman. You understand? So the things which you are trying to be zealous for, he knows more about them than you. You understand? Hey, so he's saying, what's your problem? You yourselves have failed to live up to those laws. Why are you putting them on Gentiles? So he calls him playing the hypocrite. So now, if it has not ended in the Bible, who says it's ever going to end? There are always going to be doctrinal differences. But at the heart of it, they are children of God and children of darkness. There are no gray areas. Praise the Lord. Now, that the rest of the Jews... Anyway, you should we read it? Never mind about it. That's part of it. Now, even here, there's going to be a very serious confrontation between light and darkness. But I'll tell you what, light is going to win. Eh? Especially here in Uganda. Do you know why? Because God selected Uganda as the beginning of this end time rollback. This is the country he selected. So here, no matter what the kingdoms of darkness do, they cannot win here. They cannot. Light is going to win. And darkness is going to be rolled back. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, if I didn't really believe that, there are things that unless you know where your power lies, you cannot say. For instance, do you think there is any serious politician who really hopes to amount to anything in the world who can stand up and open the fight vaccination knowing who are the people who are behind it and how much money they have? Except yours truly. I'm telling you, because I know where my power lies. It does not lie in those clowns. It does not. We are going to vanquish them when they are seeing. It does not. Our power lies in God. Now, and we know whom they serve, and we know whom we serve. And we know who is on top. And the spirit of David, that who is this uncircumcised Philistine? When everybody is running, you say, who is this guy? Who is defying them? Now, other than in the nations, also in your individual lives, you're also going to have confrontations between what? Light and darkness. And it's going to happen at areas of jobs, small places and things like that, business interests and so on, where you're going into something, but you are in a real confrontation with somebody from the kingdom of darkness. Now, if you don't fashion yourself with the same mindset of I know whom I serve, and I know whom they serve, and I know who is on top, and I know who ends up on top. I know this, I have this script. By the way, this is like a movie. Have you ever seen movies? Eh? A guy comes running like this, the star, and they are shooting at him, and all the bullets are what? Missing. For him, he shoots one bullet pyai, on the head. Now we are the stars in God's movie. Have you seen those things? Even a guy is running, but all the bullets are hitting the ground, and they just show you dust coming up. And you say, why can't they hit the man? But they can't. But when you just stand, and you hear, and then the guy goes down. So now this is how this is. And by the way, let me tell you, do you know that scripture where was that? In Kings, I think, First Kings, where there was a prophecy about the death of, what's that guy who wanted to go and attack Ramoth Gilead? With Jehoshaphat. Ahab. You remember that thing? And then the prophet came and said that you're going to die in that thing. Then the guy said that you look up this guy, the prophet, until I return in peace. But then something happened, which I find interesting, because it says a certain man shot an arrow. Random arrow. You know that scripture? You look for it. He shot a random arrow, not even directed towards Ahab. But the arrow went and got to the dividing of his armor. You know those things which they used to put on the chest to protect the chest? Now at the middle here, they were tied with some piece of metal rings. So there was a small gap between the metals. So a random shot came and found that exact place between the two metal chest protectors, breastplates, and entered inside and killed him. Because now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver, now I just, you find, get this in another translation. The other, these modern translations, which I don't like, but here, this, you try this over new things. Okay. An Ariaman soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israel troops and hit the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. Now, okay, random. So, why? Because there was a word. Now, I'm telling you something. What is happening here is that a random shot, which you didn't even intend, brings down your enemies. Because God's plan has to come to pass. And you are the person whom is looking, praise the Lord. You are the person whom is looking at to bring it to come to pass. So random things will happen, which fall in your favor. And by the way, this, you are going to see, let me tell you this. And I said this at partners meeting. There is a quickening now of things which we have been speaking about. Suddenly things seem to be happening very much faster. And there is a certain urgency of things which we have spoken about for a very long time. And we seem to speak about them until everybody is tired. We've heard that before. Have you? You wait and you see. Like the way light unveils itself. Suddenly, and people have been talking. And it seems to be a song. And you say something and somebody says, yeah, we've had that. I've had that before. And you really look like you don't know what you're talking about. But then, you read Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It says that, behold my messenger, who he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now it says, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly show up in the temple. Suddenly. Now you can read it this way. And the wealth transfer which you've been talking about will suddenly show up. And will be there. Right there. And then he says, who will be able to take it in the next verse? Who will be able to stand it? And you see, you've talked about this so long. Wealth transfer, haven't you talked about it? Let me tell you, we've talked about it for almost 20 years of my being born again. The first 10 years, wealth was of the devil. Then after that, we discovered that it's not bad to be what? Because as much as we espoused poverty, somehow when you're broke, you went to who? A rich person. And you hope the rich person is a kind person also. And because of this teaching, by the way, I saw so many people leave the church. There are so many people who got into the church and then they look and they see. There's a guy whom I told used to attend some church. So I met him one day and I told him, do you still go to that place? He told me, no, I can't go there. I told him why. This is an intelligent person. He said that church is supposed to be fellowship. I cannot fellowship with people whose aspirations are to get a visa to go to America. When me, I'm trying to build a multi-billion shilling what? Business. Like, there's no fellowship. You understand? So he told me, I looked around and there's no real fellowship. And now the interesting thing is, you go there thinking that you'll bring them up, but they pull you down. And eventually you also start having very small dreams. Yet you went there with big dreams. So the guy says, I looked around and there's nothing like fellowship. You see the people who are around you, the things they are talking about, and their aspirations and what. You say, no, this is not my place. And thankfully, he had the brains to leave. Because when I found him there one day, somebody had invited me there because there was some function and a friend. So you go there and you see this. You know, some of the churches can actually be depressing. Eh? To be very honest with you. Eh? Thank God for the spirit of excellence. Eh? Nobody can say that you're depressed here. Eh? By the way, you can't. Eh? Praise the Lord. man. I was afraid somebody was offended. Eh? But you'll be fine. Now, but the thing is, you're supposed to go to a place where you talk with people and you're thinking the same things. Now, if there's no fellowship, what are you doing there? So this guy told me that. Now, they said, the Lord whom you've waited for, whom you've been talking about. Can you imagine these people talked about the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. Then one day he showed up in the temple and they wanted to stone him. You remember that? Hey. And yet they had been waiting for him for 400 years. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Then one day he comes. And then somebody come and read for us this portion of scripture. Then you come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to him. Then he says, now this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What? What are you trying to say? Now this is the guy they have been waiting for all those years. But now they wanted to stone him. And he had to just vanish and go. Now, also, I hope you don't stone people for being rich. After I've talked about wealth transfer for all these years, I was saying the first 10 years we were supposed to be poor because we were going to heaven anytime. You understand? But can you imagine all these years later we are still here? But when we go to like heaven any minute, there is a song we used to sing in school. But man, impression. The song we used to sing in school, I don't know if anybody knows it. Says, this could be your last time, friend Jesus. Your last chance. This could be your last chance to pray. Tomorrow it may be too late for praying. You never know, for the coming of the Lord may be today. Do you know I was in S3? Now I'm 50 years. And we are still waiting. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but the coming of the Lord might be when? That's what we were saying. I was in S3, 15 years old. 35 years later, here I am. Here I am to worship. You know. Now, after the first 10 years of poverty, then we started discovering that what? Yeah, it's okay to be rich. Eh? Then I remember that era of the church was characterized by people being smart. Eh? So people, broke, you'd come out of your muzigo, but smart. Smart and broke. The only thing that would actually stop you from being smart is if you didn't have taxi money. Because there's a limit to how much you can walk in the sun in a suit. Eh? But if you had some taxi money, you'd come out like a kid in a boat. So at least we are faking it till we what? Then we make it. Then later on we discovered how to what? How to make some of these things come to pass. But here is the thing I wanted to tell you people, you children of God. You see, some of you do not have the patience to hold on to a revelation until it takes root. You know, some guy came to me at office, and I've seen him a while. He's not the first time. He's somebody who is always around Watchman. So he came to me and told me, you know, he told us that, you know, you sold and then you know. So the other day I also went, I had some transport money, I sold it. Then I got a what? Some money, like I got some increment. Then he said, yeah, now found the secret. Then he sold again. Brokenness. It did not happen again. Let me tell you, every revelation needs time to take root. You understand? Eh? Give it time to take root. It's not magic that you wave something like that. No, that's not how it works. You have to give time for the revelation to take root inside you. Eh? Now, when it does, it starts working and it grows from the point of revelation. You understand? Eh? Not from the point of magic that now I got 10K, I sold, I got 100K. Hey, now I know how it works. So if I sow 50K, now I'm going to get how much? 500. You'll sow 50K and you'll get zero. Because you have not allowed the revelation to take root. Now, when it comes from a place of taking root, it is so, first of all, there is a certain sense of, now he came to me when he was grumbling. Eh? Now you're doing, what, then what? This then it didn't happen. Then I looked at him and I wanted to tell him, my brother, wait until it takes root. Because everything has to what? You have to wait until something is rooted. A faith is rooted. It gets, and now when you go through those moments of, that's when the roots are actually built. Eh? When something seems not to be happening, that's when the roots are being built. So that when it starts happening, now the fruits come and there are roots down there. You understand? Now it says in the scripture, rooted and grounded. That's what it says somewhere, rooted and what? Grounded. Now when something is, when a revelation inside you has been rooted and grounded, it cannot be shaken. Everything, as soon as you want to get it and make it your revelation, the first thing that will happen are so many trials to, but the trials are meant to help you ground it, not to help you give up, like that gentleman. So at the end of the day, when I saw you, said, now you see, now I have exams, I have a retake, I haven't even paid money for the retake, I saw that the thing didn't even happen. Then, of course, I saw a baby. Eh? So I told him, how much is the retake? So he told me. And I gave him the money for the retake. I said, you take that one and go. Eh? Because now there are some people for whom words are not going to help him. Eh? And the Lord will show you that this one, even if you say what? Eh? His heart is so discouraged, he's so low, none of your words are going to work for him. So you just use what? Money. And I do that so many times. Where somebody comes and they are very low, and you see that anything you say is not going to help them. Because they need a step of encouragement, something to encourage them. So somebody says, now I'm in what? Deficit. I haven't even paid rent. Even what? They are chasing me out. Even I might find when my mattress is on there. Now, what do you tell somebody like that? Eh? Depends. Eh? If I expect the person to know better, I'll tell him, believe God. Believe God. And if they throw his mattress out, let them throw it out. That's part of what? Of grounding. But others, you can't tell them that. Because you see Bambi. Yeah. So he said, how much is your rent? That's this. So how much? They are kubanjaring you how much? That's this. They say, okay, you take. And then you can see somebody who is going to change after that. Let me tell you, if you want to be a child, you can be a child all your life. If you want to be grounded, you can choose to be grounded in a revelation and it will never fail to work for you. Amen? Now, in the scripture, but by the way, I gave you a word of encouragement here. You expect suddenly. Don't forget that. The things which you've been waiting for, suddenly will show up before you. The messenger, the Lord, and the Lord whom you've sought, whom you've been seeking after, whom you've spoken about. Now, the Lord can be so many things. The things you expect from the Lord, you understand? Anything you expect from the Lord. It can be a partner, it can be, you know, a financial breakthrough, it can, anything you expect from the Lord will suddenly show up in your face. And the time is now. And I'm sensing a quickening in the spirit because we've spoken these things for so long. But then, I just went back to that because I don't want you to forget it. That is your word for encouragement for what? For today. Don't let yourself be discouraged. There is nothing here that all the things, you see, Paul said that I am persuaded that he who promised is faithful. Praise the Lord. You have to be persuaded that I believed God, he's not going to let me down. And I'm persuaded. And you have to put him up to his word. At some stage, you will mature. You will be a baby, baby, baby until you mature. And maturing means putting God to the task over his word. You said this, and I know you are a faithful God, and I believe it. And I'm not going to shake. I'm not going to be scared. The way one day I told him, when they threatened, that they are going to bring for me Agatari Konfufu when they are throwing me out of my house. You remember that story? And they actually said, the woman was serious. She said, Ngenda Kuba, a number Agatari Konfufu. I said, if you want to throw me, why don't you just throw me out? Must you call Agatari Konfufu? But some people are wicked, man. So, man, I was really, really, that thing almost like it turned my head upside down. Then I said, but I jumped on one scripture and I said, Lord, you said that nobody ever trusted in you and was ashamed. I am not going to be the first one. And I just held on to that word. I said, you said nobody trust, that those who trust in the Lord will never be ashamed. I am not going to be put to shame. And I walked and I actually went and I sat down here in Lugogo and drank my what? The first thing that happened is the woman forgot about that. For 2 weeks. I went home, slept, went back, slept, went back, slept. 2 weeks. She had forgotten. Then, I was the one who called after that. And said, I got your money. Said, hey, what's the funye? Okay, let me send somebody to come for it. But if I had panicked, I would have been still in the realm of panicking up to today. After all, you won't die. You people, kajanja. People have believed God when they are going to die. Now for you even, so, now, you're not going to die. Praise the Lord. So you, like, you, now, Paul said, listen to this, Galatians 4:19. He says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. Now, of course, you know Christ is not Jesus' second name. Eh? Some of you think it's Jesus Christ, like Joseph Kabuleta. No. Christ is the office. Okay? Those who believe that Jesus is the what? The Christ. In other words, the Messiah. In other words, the anointed one. So it's the anointing, the office. And Christ is formed in you. Now he says, my little children, for my labor until Christ is formed in you. Now, every revelation has to be formed inside you. And grounded completely inside you. And it is going to be tested. And when it is rooted, you will know. Because you can go through a spell where it seems to be nothing is happening, but you're so confident of what you know, then you know it is rooted. That's why he says in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, when he's explaining it, he says some people receive the word and get the word and receive it gladly. But when the sun comes out, it is scorched. The seed is scorched. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Because it had no root, they are not being rooted in whatever it is, the revelation that is, the word was. So it goes away. Now what does the sun do? The sun is a dry spell. And you go through a dry spell where, I thought I had mastered this, you know, prosperity thing. I thought I was blessed. I thought I had mastered it. But now I'm going through a dry spell. No, that's when you actually are supposed to be more confident that what? If that dry spell does not change you, then you're rooted. Amen? Hey, it is easy for you to stand there and say that, man, I'm blessed, when you're speaking with some evidence. But you'll be when there is no evidence and you say it. Now that shows you're rooted. Now those dry spells are there to help you ground that revelation. Not for you to lament and mourn and then start getting withered away and then disbelieving things which you had already believed before. And then you become, you know, very shaky. Then some of you even become bitter. Then start grumbling. And then you go down a very dark path. And the way back is very difficult. But when the dry spell comes, you just continue professing that I'm blessed. Yeah, but I don't have money, but I'm blessed. Amen? Now, I will tell you, if you do that, you will see the next time it comes back. It will not come back at the level where it went. It will come back multiplied. Because sometimes those dry spells are actually pronouncing the next level. Amen? So you go through a dry spell. Now, how you handle that dry spell determines whether you go to the next level or you stay in the same level. And some people even go down, backwards. Now you go through it, the sun come out. Eh? And it is... Now, remember the other one, he says it is grounded. So when the sun comes out, nothing. It is still growing. Does the sun stop seeds from growing? No, it doesn't. Unless the seeds are not in the ground. Amen? If they're in the ground, the sun doesn't stop them. They will come out anyway. So, dry spells. What I'm telling you here today is do not waste your dry spells. That is an opportunity for you to go to the next level. Every time you see that you had gone through a period of blessing, and I mean blessing with evidence, and then suddenly, bah, it stops. Next level. Higher level. Amen? But it depends on how you react to it. So if it stops and you say, I'm blessed, man. I am blessed. That's when you actually say it like more and insist on it and say it. Because those things happen to different people where, they, you know, for some reason something goes down. And now, if it happens to me, that's when I would spend 3 days. For instance, if it is in finance, that's when I would spend 3 days meditating only on the blessings of God and the finances. And I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I tell you to not last more than 1 week. Before, again, now I passed a test. Will you? Praise the Lord. Will you? Because now, I don't adjust myself to that. If I do, then that's what he calls withering away. You get scorched and you wither away. Because now, you start adjusting yourself. Now Monday is tight. Now I can no longer do this. I can no longer do that. Now you are really falling into a trap. You're falling into the trap of the devil. So you start adjusting your expectations downwards. Now, that's when you should go and spend time. Don't let it take root. Don't let it last long. I'm repeating this for a reason. Because I know so many people of you have seen, like, have some testimonials of, wow, something happening. And then you got excited. But as soon as it went away, you went back down. And you missed an opportunity to go higher. So sometimes I repeat myself, and I'm not doing it because I can end the fellowship here. Amen? And go and take my what? You know what? But I really want to drum this home, that dry spells are there to announce the next level. and are there to show if you're... By the way, even dry spells in a relationship. Have you ever been in a place where now you seem like you're so close to God, even speaking to you every moment and what? Eh? Eh. He's even telling you how many spoons of sugar to put in your tea. Eh? And then suddenly... Then suddenly, for no reason, he seems to be distant. You understand? Eh? Then you... Now what happened? Nothing. You're supposed to... You know, that is supposed to show that by faith. Eh? I remember Kenneth Hagin said, some lady came and said, he came to him eh? And said that now, then he said, the presence of God is here. And she said, I don't feel it. Then he said, no, you're not supposed to feel it. The Bible says it is here. You see now, there are certain things which you're supposed to just believe God. Where two or three are what? So whether you're feeling him, eh? He's there. Now he said he's there. So he's there. Eh? Now, they said, now, just believe you're blessed. Yeah, but I don't, you know, the other day, even, you're blessed. That's what the scripture says. Just believe that. And for now, the thing is, you've even had an experience of it before. You've even tested it. You've even seen it. But now it has seemed to go. Don't wither. Just stay in that place and say, no. Regardless of what I'm seeing right now, he's here. Amen? Whether I'm feeling the presence of God or not, he's where? He's inside me. He's here. Yeah. So two or three are gathered, he's where? So can he fail to be here? If he's not here, then he's a liar. Because we have gathered here in whose name? So he's here. Now I don't have to feed him. I know he's here. You see, now certain things you just have to go by what the word of God says. Now, if you're blessed, you're blessed. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're going through a dry spell, that is there to show whether you're rooted or not. Now, if you think these revelations are like magic, then gets you. You go and do Ponzi schemes. Eh? You know Ponzi schemes? Eh? Like which one? There are people who are experts at selling those things. Eh? But you put this money here, then after 1 month, or you get how much? Eh? Then after 1 year, they give you back your money. But there are people already have faith, eh? But in wrong things. But where are those people getting the money? Because the first time they tried to sell to me a Ponzi scheme, I was broke and I was desperate. But I realized and said, this thing is fake. Because, so you put 1 million. Of course, they couldn't tell me 1 million because I didn't look like 1 million. I look like 10K at most. Eh? So I say, put 10K. Eh? Then over you get how much? Then over then multiplies. Then you get what? Then multiplies everywhere. And then I said, and the people who are, I'm giving the 10K, where are they getting this money they are giving me? Are they investing it somewhere or not? No, you just give it. I said, even if I'm desperate, that one, I fell for so many things when I was desperate. Eh? But that one I jammed. Because it was so obvious. Eh? But I fell for some stupid things. Really spectacular stupid things. And if the Lord had not saved me, I would be in serious trouble. I remember some guy who came and told me. Sometimes I'm ashamed to say these things. But you know when you are desperate, man, you can't believe things, man. Some guy came and told me. And now this is even a pastor. He came and told me why he had how much gold over tomorrow. Now, first of all, I don't ask myself, why does he want me? He had gold, he had the buyer. Then he's coming to me. What do you want from me? You see, so obviously it was fake. But then, you see, when you're on a hungry stomach, you believe anything. Even these people who call, am I talking to so and so? You've won a prize for what? Now, you think some people believe it. Those ones, you're there, you're hungry and what? And you're waiting for something, for some rescue package. So anyway, now this guy told me that tomorrow we are going to share. Eh? That the buyer is meeting the seller. We are going to meet at Sheraton at 10 a.m. Eh? Make sure you're there. At what? Over my take was like how many $1,000? Like what, 20,000? Some crazy amount of money. And man, I'd already started having pictures. Oh my God. But you know, remember that thing I told you of because of God's investment? Eh? Sometimes it just saves you when you're a fool, man. Do you know what happened that day? Again, I overslept, man. And imagine $20,000 was waiting for me, and I sleep. So now, I woke up at 11:30. Of course, because I pray for a lot of the night. So I said, let me sleep a bit. I even put an alarm clock. I was seeing, man, visions of $20,000. So I go to sleep, man. Then I think God just knocked me out, man. I woke up. What's the diaper? I jumped up, man. Then called the guy. That pastor. And the guy's phone was off. I said, now these guys have taken my money, man. So I said, can you imagine? Because this sleep is going to put me in problems one day. So I was convinced that now I learned later on, and those people do these things. They fake that they have gold, then they get somebody who is apparently a buyer, and they say, you come with the cash, but they want to steal the cash. That's what the whole thing is about. Now they called somebody who apparently, then they went and called the police. So when they were still there, police came and rounded all of them up. And the police is called by these guys who claim they have gold. Because they want to round it up, then the police steals this person's money. Then they say these are fake gold. You know those things, eh? It's all buffet. So when the guy wasn't picking up his phone, guess where he was? In the cell at CPS. And guess where I would be if I hadn't overslept? But God can save people, man. Now you see me here, eh? But I think God looks and says, oh, this guy here, if I don't. But, you know, he has his invested in me. And he said, let me just save the guy, man. Because I was going to fall. The thing looked. Now, if I even tell it to you, you would even laugh at me. How can you believe something so stupid? But when you're broke, you believe anything. Anyway, so, but the investment. So I'm telling you, my little children, for my labor until Christ is formed in you. I want you to know that now we come to a place where you really have to be very confident in what you believe, in the who you have behind you. So that when you confront the forces of darkness, you are not scared whatsoever. You are absolutely not scared because you are going to confront them. I'm talking about you. There is absolutely no doubt that you'll confront them. But you see, Christ has to be formed in you. Everything of what Christ is deeply formed in you, and you're sure of everything that you believe, and you look at them and you see people who are going down, and you see people whom you pity. And now when this thing is formed in you, people who everybody is looking at as powerful, you look at them and see like they are bread. You remember Joshua and Caleb saying that the giants are like are our bread. If the Lord delights in us, like they are looking at it at a totally different level where, okay, they are giants. We are not saying they are not giants. They are giants. But we have the Lord God Almighty. And if he says he's giving us this land, then there is nothing that can stop us. Amen? And then one final thing, before I end, let me tell you people. There is a lot of defeatism among the children of God. A lot of it of when there is resistance, you don't know how to press in until you get something. By force or thunder. Amen? And from the days of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by what? Yes. We are not, we are going to take things by force. But the Lord is with us. But the Lord is not going to sit and hit people without us standing up. Now you see, I like that scripture which I'll end with in Judges of Japheth. Remember Japheth? I preached about him the other day. That guy, what's he called? The guy who was the son of a prostitute. They said, Judges 11, where he goes and sends a message to the Moabites and tells them that the Lord our God has given us this land and we shall take it. Ammon, rather. Go ahead somewhere where he takes his case properly and says, go back to verse 12. Let's start from there. And he says, Now Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, saying, what do you have against me that you have come to fight against me in my land? Why does he call it his land? And the king of the people of Ammon answered the messengers of Jephthah, saying, because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt, from the Arnon as far as Jabbok to the Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands peaceably. Now some people say, yes, okay, for the sake of peace. There is no peace. So Japheth again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon. Go ahead. And say to him, thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the people of Ammon. Go quickly. For when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, please let me pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not heed. And in like manner they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh. And they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab and came to the east side of the land of Moab and encamped on the other side of Ammon. But they did not enter the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Go ahead. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Amorites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, please let us pass through here. Now I want you to see where he's making a difference here. Because these people come, now Moab and Edom were cousins of what? Of Israel. Because one of them, they were children of Esau, and the others, so they were cousins of Israel. Now when Israel came out of Egypt, and they asked to go through the land of Moab and Edom, they refused. And God told them, don't touch them, because I've given them that land. So you pass around it. So they passed around it, and that made their journey longer, because the Moabites and the Ammonites would not trust Israel to pass through the land without causing havoc. So they passed around. Now, when they went around, then they came to a place which was, go back to the period 19. They came to a place which was occupied by the Amorites. Now, the Amorites are part of the nations which God wanted to destroy. They are not cousins of Israel. Now, they said the same thing to the people of Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said to me, let us pass through your land into our place. Go ahead. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and encamped in Jahaz and fought against Israel. Okay? And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated him. Thus Israel gained possession of the land of the Amorites who inhabited the country. Now, what he's trying to explain here is, for you, when we wanted to pass through your land and you refused, God said, don't touch them because they are your cousins. Pass the other side. But now when we came to the Amorites and we asked to pass through their land, and they did not trust us, those ones God allowed us to destroy them. And now we destroyed them and took their land. And now you are coming and claiming this land, which we took from the Amorites by war. And he said that you are being unjust. We have not touched your land. The land you're claiming is not yours. This one we got from the Amorites. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon. Go ahead. They took possession of all the territory of Amorites from the Arnon. Now this is the Arnon which they are claiming. To Jabbok and from the wilderness to Jordan. And now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? The Lord God has given us Ammon. Who are you to come and get it from us? You see now, these are languages of war. This is how we prepare for what? If God has given you something, like, nobody should take it. Like, should you then come and possess it? Then go ahead. Then he says, and now, are you better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? What he's saying, that even the Amorites, even those people whom we took the land from, when we took it from them, they are quiet. They are not reclaiming it. You understand? Balak. But now you, whom we had to pass round because God refused us to attack you, you are coming to claim this land, which we took from somebody else. And that person is not even claiming the land back. So he said, did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? Go ahead. Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you wronged me by fighting against me. May the Lord judge and render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Go ahead. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Jephthah sent him. Then the spirit, there's somewhere where he says, go, where have I missed it? Where he says that if your God gives you land, will you not take it? Eh? Where is it? It's what, 24? Eh? Where is it? Okay, go there, we see. Where are we? You know this screener. Okay. Would you not possess whatever Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possession before us, we will possess it. This is what I'm saying. Like everything, there are things which when God tells you that something, there is, let me tell you, God gives you places which have people sitting there. Eh? He tells the children of Israel that the land I'm taking you has inhabitants. It's not an empty land, but I've given it to you. So you're going to go and kill those people. Okay, you remove the word kill in these days. Eh? But you're going to go and possess it. But he says it's not an empty land. He does not give away empty things. The positions he gives have people sitting there. And he gives it to you when there's somebody there. And then you go and say, no, God has given it to me. No matter what you do, you're going to get away. Because if Chemosh, or Breeze Charles, or whoever, now, if the Lord my God has given me this thing, I am going to possess it. Okay? That is every throne. And now, if you approach that, don't like the time for being, you know, soft, like even a business, even a deal, even what, anything, you have to have the attitude of, if the Lord my God has given it to me, I am going to take a possession of it. And that requires fighting. And there is no playing games. Because, you see, there are people who are used to a certain soft church. Eh? And then I meet them every day. Hmm? Then they tell me that. But the things you say, are they befitting of a man of God? You wait when I show you dust. Like, we are not in the days of those things of what? That restore these lands peaceably. Then you say, okay, for the sake of peace, which peace? What did Jesus say? I did not come to bring peace, I brought what? Eh? Yeah, I did not bring peace, I brought a sword. Jesus said that. Didn't he say it? So sometimes we use swords. But by sword, I don't mean a sword. Eh? Don't be imprisoned for what? Yeah. But let me, when people are proclaiming their God there, we stand and proclaim. And let me tell you, there are things which we say in different arenas. And some of you people have to learn how to speak things. You stand and speak something, and it becomes the defining factor in that area because you've spoken it. Amen? Amen? And I've seen it. There are so many things which are being discussed now as bodies because I spoke them. But I don't hold any office in the natural. Eh? But in the spiritual, I know who I am. And let me tell you, don't do these things of these old baroque things. Eh? We left that time long time ago. Amen? We have to take possession. Now you see what is happening at our neighbors. Eh? Monday. Eh? Like I wish I could say some of the things which, like the kingdom of darkness is aggressive. So if it meets a kingdom of light, of people who don't know what they want, they are going to run you over. And they are used to that. But now we have to change and not be that kind of people. Completely. And we have to speak like Japheth. Eh? Jephthah. Go back to the scripture. The last one. Will you not possess whatever Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us. Now, you listen to this language. Because this Jephthah knows that even as he goes to fight, the Lord God has taken possession of that place before them. Just like the spies of Israel. When Moses sent the spies, God had already taken over the land. But it was up to them to go and what? Actualize it. So he says, whatever the Lord has taken possession of before us, not with us or after us, no, before us. So it's there. There are places where the Lord God has taken possession of before you. But if you stay seated, then you are not going to see the benefit of it. But now if you stand up and go there, and know that if it's fighting, you fight. And by fighting, I hope you understand the language. But some people even are too diplomatic. They can't say certain things. They cannot impose themselves. They are very easy to give up. They are very easy to subdue. Some people come with very fake demonic spiritual powers, and you see people, Christians being subjugated. And you say you can just... You actually can just subjugate that person in the spirit, and they will come down. And you can do it, and you have it in you. But somehow you want to be soft. Now, there are things, by the way, in this period we are talking about, where something just shows up. You think there's any world which is... Let me tell you something. Remember when I told you the other guy, some rich people whom I know now who are actually losing a lot of money. You remember? You know the principle of money. Money does not go anywhere. It just changes hands. Okay, not money, wealth. Wealth does not go where? It just changes hands. So if somebody is losing it, you have to ask yourself, am I getting it? Because you've said that to some people, God has given the work of gathering what? Wealth, that he may pass it on to those who please him. But you think he's going to pass it on when you're seated there with small dreams? No. If you see somebody losing money, who had money, and you see the image of these are the people who had money, and suddenly they don't seem to have a lot of money, you know that wealth is somewhere. And who has the Lord, your God, taken possession of it before you? You might be the younger, the Lord has taken possession of billions before you, and you don't know. And they are looking for rent. Yet the Lord God has taken possession. So you have to be like Japheth and say, that money is mine. Praise the Lord. Because I said some things here even. And especially people widen. Okay, not just business, but especially business. There are certain areas where you have to just identify. You even have a dream, and you identify this place and say, I am going to go there and take it over. There's somebody who came and told me the other day. He went to, he had some car company. Okay, I'll call it a car company. I hope he's not offended. But then if he is, he will be what? Anyway, I have to be a nice person. But what I'm saying is, but of course I'm saying it in a very good way. So he got a deal in a certain ministry to do some work. Then it started small. Then now he's taken over the whole by ministry, I mean like this government department. Then he's taken it over. Now the other day he came and told me, now I want to go into another ministry. And I actually told him, I see you expanding into other ministries. Now you just have to identify the target. Now somebody can be content because you're getting good money in this place. You're the one doing this, what, you're the go-to person. And you have found favor there. Now, you either stop there, or you identify now to move even into another ministry, and then another one, and then another one. And now, thankfully, this person now thinks of expanding into another one. And says, now I'm going here. Just identify it and go there. The Lord God has taken possession of it before you. And you go there and say, this is my place, now I'm also going to. Now, you go there with that mentality, almost arrogant mentality. You understand? Do you listen to what this guy says? That shall we not take possession of it? If even the people whom we took it from kept quiet, the Amorites, who were the original owners of this land, have never risen up since we hammered them. They are quiet. But now for you, you want to come and take it. Are you kidding us? The Lord God gave it to us. So we are going to take possession of it. Then he went and hammered those people and hammered them into subjugation. Now, this is the attitude. So that's how you spread out into any business, anything you put your hands on, any car, whatever. You just expand your territory, your boundaries deliberately. Say, now I'm expanding to this territory. and then you step out there and go and ask. You might even get a rejection. But those ones who are giving you a rejection, those are curtain raisers to the real thing. So you don't accept rejection. Like this person, you say, no. The Lord God has possessed this thing before me. You think you're going to reject me, whether you want it or not. Now, by the way, let me tell you something. If you really, really put on that attitude of now I'm going to ask for this business, but I'm not asking for it. The Lord God has taken possession of it before me. So I'm going to get what is mine. You will see nobody can reject you. You will find people there when they are waiting for you. Now you don't believe me. Have you ever actually put on this, dressed yourself in a certain you practice it one day. Dress yourself in a certain glory and just deliberately by thought, now I'm going to be received like this. And try it out. Now there are times when, for instance, I'll just give you an example. When I used to be trying these things out, I go and I enter, let's say I'm going into a bank. Then I get there, then you enter. And that's okay. But then other times I say, now I'm going to put on a glory. Then you find everybody being checked. Then the guy looks at you and says, and I just decide. And he doesn't even check you. And by the way, if I decided now to go back, he would check me. And for the most part, I'll just be that trying that out. Eh? And for the most part, I know that I don't mind being checked. You see, eh? But sometimes I just want to try it out and see, let me see how this thing works. So now when I be there, when I'm going, I say, now I'm going in this a certain glory. Eh? Then there's a time when all the guards at Zamka Bank stood like this. Eh? And I go to that place every time and they check me. But now they stood like this. Then I passed, then the guy looked at me like this. Yes, sir. Then I waved to them. Yeah. Now you tell me if I go with that thing and I'm going to ask for something in the bank, they will give it to me. Yeah? Because I've already seen that now. But if I go as an ordinary person, then they will treat me as an ordinary person. Yeah. But I can, and now I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. Eh? Yeah, because you can just choose. You try it one day. Just try it. And say, now I am putting on this glory. Because you can't be here and there is no glory on you. Eh? Yeah, there is a glory which is resident in you. You just have to choose. Why do you think? I'll give you an example. When these people want to stone Jesus, and then they turn against him and they want to stone him, you know what he does? He just puts on the glory and then he passes between them. Eh? Like, here is a man. Eh? Then when he realizes these guys want to mess him up, then he just switches on something. Then suddenly the people wanted to stone you are like this, then you pass, then you... Or even now, when he appears to people and you see he's just a man. Eh? But you know he's the Lord. You know he's the Lord, but he's just a man. Now, when he appeared to John in the book of Revelation, he did not appear to him as a man. John knew him very well. He used to even lie in his bosom. But now John fell down as one dead because Jesus appeared in his glory. You understand? Even the apostle John, who had been with him, fell down like one dead. Now, there are people who are going to fall down dead. Okay, not dead. Eh? Like the apostle Paul wasn't what? Dead. But you know what I mean? Eh? Hey, you're going to ask for a job, but you're not going to ask. You've gone like Japheth. The Lord God has taken possession of this job before me. So this is my CV. You don't tell him that. Eh? They will fire you. Eh? That's for you. Eh? So this is my CV. Call me when I'm supposed to start working. Eh? Amen. Then the guy looks at you like this. Okay. And then you see, the next day they come and what? How do you think we're taking over? I'm even over talking. Eh? You guys are making me over talk. Finished, eh? Talking too much. But is anybody going to practice that? Eh? Please do. Just to show yourself that you're not ordinary. Amen? You are not. Just prove it to yourself. These things are for practice. I'm not ordinary. I'm not an ordinary person. Praise the Lord.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.